Over the next couple of months, we're going to be studying the book of Exodus at our evening services. I wish we had a chance to look at every single chapter throughout Exodus, but sadly we won't have that opportunity. But I do encourage you to read through the book of Exodus over the next few months if you can. We will be dipping in and out of Exodus, but we are starting tonight right at the beginning looking at Exodus 1 and 2. And Carita is going to come and bring our reading to us.
Right, the reading is Exodus chapter 1, verses 6 to chapter 2, verse 10, and then verses 23 and 25 in chapter 2. In the course of time, Joseph, his brothers, and all the rest of that generation died. But their descendants, the Israelites, had many children, and became so numerous and strong that Egypt was filled with them. Then a new king, who knew nothing about Joseph, came to power in Egypt. He said to his people, "These Israelites are so numerous and strong that they are a threat to us. In case of war, they might join our enemies in order to fight against us, and might escape from the country. We must find some way to keep them from becoming even more numerous." So the Egyptians put slave drivers over them to crush their spirits with hard labor. The Israelites built the cities of Pithom and Ramesses to serve as supply centers for the king. But the more the Egyptians oppressed the Israelites, the more they increased in number, and the further they spread through the land. The Egyptians came to fear the Israelites and made their lives miserable by forcing them into cruel slavery. They made them work on their building projects and in their fields, and they had no mercy on them. Then the king of Egypt spoke to Shiphrah and Puah, the two midwives who helped the Hebrew women. "When you help the Hebrew women give birth," he said to them, "kill the baby if it is a boy, but if it is a girl, let it live." But the midwives feared God, and so did not obey the king. Instead, they let the boys live. So the king sent for the midwives and asked them, "Why are you doing this? Why are you letting the boys live?" They answered, "The Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They give birth easily, and their babies are born before either of us gets there." Because the midwives feared God, he was good to them and gave them families of their own. And the Israelites continued to increase and become strong. Finally, the king issued a command to his people, "Take every newborn Hebrew boy and throw him into the Nile, but let all the girls live." During this time, a man from the tribe of Levi married a woman of his own tribe, and she bore him a son. When she saw what a fine baby he was, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hide him any longer, she took a basket made of reeds and covered it with tar to make it watertight. She put the baby in it and then placed it in the tall grass at the edge of the river. The baby's sister stood some distance away to see what would happen to him. The king's daughter came down to the river to bathe, and while her servants walked along the bank, suddenly she noticed the basket in the tall grass and sent a slave woman to get it. The princess opened it and saw a baby boy. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked her, "Shall I go and call a Hebrew woman to act as a wet nurse?" "Please do," she answered. So the girl went and brought the baby's own mother. The princess told the woman, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So she took the baby and nursed him. Later, when the child was old enough, she took him to the king's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. She said to herself, "I pulled him out of the water, and so I name him Moses." Years later, the king of Egypt died, but the Israelites were still groaning under their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry went up to God, who heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He saw the slavery of the Israelites and was concerned for them.
Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us. We pray that by your Spirit, it will be an inspiration, it will be an encouragement, it will be a challenge. Lord, we pray, please speak to us and help us to hear all you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was little, there was a programme on television that I used to like to watch because it made me laugh. It told the story of a character who, whatever he did, got in a mess with it. And one thing went wrong, which led to something else being worse, which led to another great big disaster, which led to an even bigger mishap. Any ideas what that programme might be? Some Mothers Do Have Them. Well done. If you haven't seen Some Mothers Do Have Them, there are clips on YouTube, including the skating one, which I recommend because that was the one I always remembered. But it followed Frank Spencer. And Frank Spencer moved from one disaster to another. One problem always led on to an even greater problem. It was unbelievable, the mess that he got himself in, but it was hilarious. In reality, one problem sometimes is swiftly followed by another. In real life, it isn't funny. Now, there've certainly been times in my life, and I'm sure probably times in some of your lives, when you sit there and think, things just cannot get any worse. One difficulty has led to another. One heartache is followed by more pain. One sorrow ends, another disaster follows. You know, in troubled times, it can be hard to find God's presence in our journey of life. But I'm convinced that these words from the book of Exodus remind us that even in days of darkness, God's presence can still be found. He is still at work. He's not forgotten his promises. He's not forgotten his children. And as we look at these chapters tonight, my prayer is that we find comfort and hope as we discover that even when things are tough, God is the ever-present God, and his word is always true. At the start of our reading, we're meeting the people of Israel in Egypt. Now, they came to Egypt during the famine, where they met up with Joseph and they stayed in Egypt, where they grew and prospered. And then trouble hit them. A new king arrived. And this new king appeared to know nothing of their history and was threatened by their presence. And this led them into a time of oppression. Now, we're not actually sure who this king was, but it is thought he may have been either Ramesses I or his son Seti I. Whoever he was, he forced the people of Israel to work as slaves, and he worked them ruthlessly. Yet the more they were oppressed, the more the people of Israel grew. As if their oppression and their slavery wasn't enough for them to endure, Pharaoh tried to stop their numeric growth by ordering the midwives to kill all of the boys at birth. When that plan didn't work, and the people of Israel still increased, he ordered that all baby boys be thrown into the Nile. It's hard for us to imagine the pain and the trouble that was surrounding these people at that time. The brutal treatment that they endured must have been an absolutely crushing experience. The heartache that they suffered as Pharaoh arranged to kill their newborn sons must have been unbearable. As we look at these words in Exodus, little is said about the reaction of the people, how they felt, what they were thinking, how they managed to cope in days of darkness like that. But what the writer seems to want us to see, that in the midst of their suffering, these people could only hope for, was that despite the oppression and the trouble they faced, God was still with them and his word was still true. The people were only in Egypt because God had led them there in the first place. It was because of their obedience to him that they were there in that place at that time. And even now, they were still in the centre of his plan. What they were experiencing was what God had explained to Abraham many years before. If you look up when you get home, Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, you can read that when God promised the land of Canaan to Abram, he told him, "Your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land. They'll be slaves there and will be treated cruelly for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and when they leave that foreign land, they will take great wealth with them." Now, later on in the book of Exodus, we discover that after 430 years in Egypt, the people are led out of their oppression by Moses and they continue their journey to the promised land. In other words, what the people were experiencing was what God had told to Abraham long, long ago. His word was still true. And even in the midst of the oppression and the darkness, his people knew that they hadn't been abandoned. God was with them. At the same time, when God told Abraham of the promised land, he also told him his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. And it's in this troubled time that we begin to see this word being fulfilled. In fact, it was partly because of their numerical growth that the new king felt so threatened. So he forced them to work as slaves. But verse 12 tells us, the more they were oppressed, the more they increased in number. So that's when Pharaoh tried to get the midwives to kill the baby boys. But in verse 20, we heard, God was good to those midwives, and the people increased. God was still there with his people. God's word was still true, even though they were in the midst of some dark and troubled times. Now, no explanation is given as to why the people had to endure such oppression at this time. The 400 years was partly to give the people who were living in the land of Canaan time to change, without which they would certainly lose possession of their land. But why the people of Israel had to suffer during that time, we don't know. Now that bothers me. And I know in my own life, there are times when there seems to be no apparent purpose for the pain and the difficulties and the suffering that surrounds us or others that we know. We look for an explanation, but like the people of Israel, we can't find an answer. And it's especially in those times we need to have faith and hold on to the fact that we know God's word is still true. He hasn't left us. His presence is with us, even in the troubled and difficult days of our journey of life. God's love for us is unfailing. And when we search our hearts and find, like the people of Israel, that we are in that difficult place, not because we've disobeyed God, but because we've followed him, then even more we need to find hope in the fact that God's word is true and he is with us. The situation for the people of Israel at this time certainly looked bleak and dismal. But as their story unfolds, we not only see God is with them, but we can observe his help in a number of unexpected ways. Whilst the people were oppressed and up against the might and power of the great Pharaoh, his power was nothing compared to the power of the living God. And here, God chose to thwart Pharaoh's plans, but not through a great army. God chose a bunch of girls. I think that's amazing. And that's one of the reasons I love these two chapters. So we're going to have a quick look at the girls that God chose. Firstly, there are the midwives, Shipha and Puah. It's very unlikely that actually these were the only midwives, but they're named here as representatives of all of the Hebrew midwives. The midwives had been ordered by Pharaoh to kill all of the newborn boys. Yet in the midst of this trouble and oppression, even then, these women refused to turn their backs on God. Instead, they chose to disobey the king. What amazing faith these women had. And their faith was blessed. We read, God was good to the midwives, and the people increased. So Pharaoh changed his plan. He ordered that all of the newborn boys be thrown into the River Nile. And it was at this time that Moses was born. He was described at the beginning of chapter 2 as a fine baby. You know, I wonder whether his mother knew in her heart that her child had been chosen by God for something special. Either way, this time it was Moses' mother who thwarted Pharaoh's plans. She hid him for as long as she could, and when she couldn't hide him anymore, she carefully placed him in a basket, placed him in some reeds at the edge of the river. She was still obeying Pharaoh's order. He said they had to be put in the river. But how she'd obeyed him was actually at quite some risk to herself. And her faith was rewarded. Then there was Pharaoh's daughter, who spotted the baby and took him to be her son. How amazing that Pharaoh's own daughter should be used to save the life of the child who her father had ordered to be killed. And the one child who would eventually lead the people of Israel out of slavery. And finally, there was Moses' sister. She stood at a distance, she watched all that was going on, and then she offered some help to Pharaoh's daughter. Because of her, Moses' mother could not only officially look after her son, she was paid to do so. And when he was older, Moses was adopted by the king's daughter. The people of Israel were suffering under the hand of Pharaoh, suffering in unimaginable ways. But God was still with them. And in very unexpected ways, we can see his hand at work. Now, I doubt if much or even if any of this could be seen by the people at the time. But these people were God's agents, who were in the right place at the right time, who stepped out in faith, even risking their lives, in order to follow God. Even in the darkest of days, they held on to him. In the midst of trouble and suffering, it's often so difficult to see beyond the circumstances that surround us. The pain is too great. The questions in our mind are too big. We can't find an answer to our suffering, and so we're locked in this place of despair. But as we cry out to God, "Where are you in the midst of this darkness?" we need to watch out for God's help in unexpected ways. As we hold on to him, as we hold on to the truth that he is with us, we can expect him to be at work. Perhaps not in the way that we would imagine, but still at work, bringing about his plan and purpose. Because even in those most difficult, terrible times, we can trust that God's plan will prevail. Chapter 2 continues to tell us the story of Moses after he'd grown up. In fact, Acts goes on to tell us that Moses was 40 years old at this time. And after killing an Egyptian and fleeing to Midian, he stayed there for a further 40 years. That's another 80 years of oppression and slavery for the people of Israel. 80 more years of pain and suffering that they had to endure. And then at the end of chapter 2, we heard in verse 23, the Israelites were still groaning under their slavery. They cried out for help. Their cry went up to God, who heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He saw the slavery of the Israelites and was concerned for them. The book of Exodus is predominantly about God's covenant, the promise God chose to make to Abraham that he fulfills because of his grace and his love. The God who pledged himself to Abraham and his descendants remained the faithful God. I wonder if the suffering people sustained themselves by remembering those promises through their dark days. We don't know if they did, but we do know that for them, life wouldn't always be like that. God's plan would prevail. God's plan did prevail. And in those difficult and challenging and painful times in our life, we need to trust that God's plan will prevail for our life too. God is present. He is with us always, just as he was with the people of Israel through their journey. God had gone with them to Egypt, and he was still there with them through the oppression, through the trouble, working his purposes out. Pharaoh may seem powerful. He may seem to be in control, but the people were still in the hands of the Father whose presence was with them. In Genesis chapter 46, you can read that when God spoke to Jacob and told him to go to Egypt, he said, "I will go with you to Egypt, and I will bring your descendants back to this land." God's plan would prevail. All would be well in the end. And as we trust in God and follow him, we have to be prepared to trust that his plan will prevail for our lives too. Like the people of Israel, our lives don't become immune to pain and suffering when we choose to follow God. And in troubled times that we face, that might never make sense to us, at those times especially, we have to trust that God's plan will prevail. The way ahead might be hard, just as it was for the people of Israel. But through everything, God will continue to reveal more of who he is to us, and he will walk with us and lead us to the other side. God has promised he will not leave us, and we know his love for us is unfailing. But even so, there are times for each one of us when we feel like we're walking in days, maybe weeks, maybe months of darkness. Even though we've followed God, sometimes it seems like one difficulty leads to another. One heartache ends, more suffering begins. In those times especially, we must hold on to the truth that God's word is true and he is with us. You know, it wasn't only the people of Israel that faced oppression, and it's not only us today that face hardships. Jesus himself endured all kinds of suffering. As a baby, Jesus had to flee firstly to and then from Egypt when the king ordered that all the baby boys should be killed. But at that time of trouble, still God's word was true. And as Jesus' ministry began, and his words and actions brought people into the kingdom of God, the long-awaited rescue that the Jewish people were looking for didn't come in the way that they'd imagined. God's help came yet again in unexpected ways. The Messiah didn't take control by force. Instead, he showed love and compassion, and he demonstrated how God had intended life to be. And for those who had seen who Jesus really was and entrusted him with their lives, they were left in despair when they watched the one in whom they'd placed their trust be crucified. And yet, God's plan would prevail. Jesus defeated death and sin and rose again in order that they and we might be saved and enter into God's kingdom. The people of Israel knew God's presence through their oppression and slavery. And we can see now how God's plan of rescue released them and brought them into the promised land. But sometimes in our own lives, we can't see the end. In our journey of life, we have to trust in God's plan of redemption for us through Jesus' death on the cross and hold on to the fact that by his Spirit, his presence is with us. His word is true. In the days of darkness that at some time we will all face, we need to watch out for his help in unexpected ways and trust that his plan will prevail. Life won't always be like this, and God is with us always. Let's take a few moments of silence as we reflect on God's word to us personally tonight. Loving God, we thank you tonight for your unfailing love for us. We thank you that you are faithful to us, that your word is true. And we thank you that you are the ever-present God who is with us always. Lord, we know tonight that each of us are in different places in our journey of life. But we thank you that you are with us. I pray tonight especially for those who feel that they are in the midst of darkness and of suffering. Lord, please help us to hold on to your promises and to the truth that you are with us. Please lead us forward. Please keep us strong when we feel weak. Lord, thank you that you are faithful. And we pray that you will sustain us and you will guide us and you will lead us through the other side. And Lord, tonight I pray for those who feel that life is changing, that the journey that they know is perhaps going round a different corner. They're not sure what's ahead. Lord, we thank you that you go with us, that you know the way ahead, and that you never leave us. Please help us to have courage and to be faithful to you. Help us to hear your voice leading us and inspire us and equip us as we walk forward in a new part of our journey of life. And Lord, tonight I pray for those too who feel that they are risking things because of their faith in you. Lord, we thank you that you looked after those midwives who risked their lives to trust in you. Lord, I pray for those of us who feel that faith is a bit of a risk, that we will see your faithfulness in unbelievable ways as we will step out and follow you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.